Let us continue to ponder the wondrous love that led the Lord of Bliss to go through all he went through for us by giving our attention to his word as it comes to us in the Gospel according to St. John, chapter 13, beginning in verse 21. A few weeks ago, we were looking at the first part of chapter 13 and considering how the Lord was proving himself to be the true servant of Israel and the Savior of his people as he washed his disciples' feet and giving us an example to follow in serving one another in love and humility and, of course, in a sense, acting out a parable of his redemptive work on our behalf and the washing away of our sins by his precious blood. So we're still in that setting of the Last Supper. Jesus has just washed the disciples' feet, including the feet of the one who was to betray him. John chapter 13, beginning in verse 21. After saying these things, Jesus was troubled in his spirit and testified, "Truly, truly, I say to you, one of you will betray me." The disciples looked at one another, uncertain of whom he spoke. One of his disciples, whom Jesus loved, was reclining at table close to Jesus. So Simon Peter motioned to him to ask Jesus of whom he was speaking. So that disciple, leaning back against Jesus, said to him, "Lord, who is it?" Jesus answered, "It is he to whom I will give this morsel of bread when I have dipped it." So when he had dipped the morsel, he gave it to Judas, the son of Simon Iscariot. Then after he had taken the morsel, Satan entered into him. Jesus said to him, "What you are going to do, do quickly." Now no one at the table knew why he said this to him. Some thought that because Judas had the money bag, Jesus was telling him, "Buy what we need for the feast," or that he should give something to the poor. So after receiving the morsel of bread, he immediately went out, and it was night. The grass withers and the flower fades, but the word of our God shall stand forever. Let's look to him once again in prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank you for your Son, the true servant of Israel and Savior of his people. We thank you that the Lord of Bliss was willing to go to the depths of our humanity and to bear the dreadful curse that we deserve. Grant us to see him clearly now. Remove any distraction, remove any doubt. Grant us to repent of any and all sin. And grant us to have an enlivened faith in this hour, that we might see our Lord Jesus, that we might love him, that we might worship him, that we might grow in faithfulness to him, and that we might taste and see once again that he is good. This we pray through Christ our Lord. Amen. Well, surely the most infamous betrayal in American history came at the hands of Benedict Arnold, who at the beginning of the Revolutionary War helped the colonials defeat the British armies in several crucial battles. But he never felt he got the recognition and the advancement that he deserved. So he defected to the British in 1780 and ended up leading the British against the very men that he himself had once commanded. Surely the most infamous betrayal in human history is the one that we've just read of, which came at the hands of Judas Iscariot, one of the 12 original disciples of Jesus. It is his name that became a universal byword for betrayal. It is his betrayal of Jesus that we consider this morning, focusing not so much on the betrayer, though we will consider him, but more specifically on the one whom he betrayed. Asking the question, why would Jesus allow himself to be betrayed by Judas? Why would Jesus willingly endure the pain and the embarrassment of being betrayed by a close friend? Why would he go through that? The short answer is that he did it for us. But let's consider more specifically three reasons why Jesus went through the agony of betrayal for you and for me. In the first place, Jesus allowed himself to be betrayed for us in order to fulfill Scripture. Jesus said up in verse 18, "The Scripture will be fulfilled. He who ate my bread has lifted his heel against me." This was a quote from Psalm 41 and verse 9, in which David said, "Even my close friend in whom I trusted, who ate my bread, has lifted his heel against me." David was likely talking about one of his closest friends and counselors, Ahithophel, who betrayed David and conspired with Absalom, David's rebellious son, to murder David and take his throne. Judas likewise conspired against Jesus. Jesus wanted to prepare his disciples for the results of that conspiracy. Indeed, what we see really in chapters 13 through 16 and indeed through the high priestly prayer of John 17 is Jesus focusing his attention on preparing his disciples for what was to come. And that's what he's doing here. He did not want them to be surprised by what Judas was going to do. He did not want them to think that God's plan was going to be thwarted because of Judas. Instead, he wanted to let them know that this was actually, mysteriously, as part of God's inscrutable plan to redeem sinners, foretold in Scripture. As he said in verse 19, "I'm telling you this now before it takes place, that when it does take place, you may believe that I am he." In other words, don't panic when I am betrayed. Know that this is what I must go through as the Messiah, God in the flesh, in order to save you. And when we all get on the other side of the betrayal and the cross and the grave, I'm going to send you out with the good news of my saving work. And whoever receives you and the news you proclaim will receive me and thus the Father who sent me. And this should encourage us today as well, as we are those sent out by Jesus in the power of his Spirit, realizing that he fulfilled Scripture for us, that he did all that the Messiah needed to do in order to reconcile us to God, that nothing happened to him by chance, but in every way as a fulfillment of the Old Testament prophecies about him. We can go out and share the good news of Jesus with that confidence. And we can know that something amazing has happened when we are received as his messengers. That by the power of the Holy Spirit, Christ himself is being received. That's what it means to be Christ's ambassadors. With confidence, we can share the gift of Christ, that he may be received as Savior, and that his Father might be received as the Heavenly Father of all who believe in Christ. Jesus wanted to embolden his disciples, past and present, with the truth that Judas's actions were not surprising to God, They were not something that would frustrate God's plan to save sinners. They were not going to keep Christ from fulfilling his promise to build the church. Rather, in God's inscrutable wisdom, they were part of God's plan to save his people, as foretold in the Old Testament. Thus, Christ allowed himself to be betrayed in order to fulfill Scripture, and then to gird his disciples up with that Scripture, assuring him that he was the fulfillment of that very prophecy regarding his betrayal. In the second place, Christ allowed himself to be betrayed for us in order to feel what we feel. In the first place, to fulfill Scripture, but in the second place, to feel what we feel. Hebrews 4, verses 15 and 16 say, "We do not have a high priest who is unable to sympathize with our weaknesses, but one who in every respect has been tempted as we are, yet without sin. Let us then with confidence..." See how God wants his people to be a confident people. "Let us therefore with confidence draw near to the throne of grace, that we may receive mercy and find grace to help in time of need." He's able to sympathize with us because he's gone through what we've been through. And during the Festival of Lessons and Carols a few weeks ago, we sang that beautiful hymn, "Lo, how a rose e'er blooming." One of the lines of which says this, "O Savior, child of Mary, who felt our human woe. O Savior, King of glory, who dost our weakness know." Friends, we do not have a pretend Savior. We do not have a plastic Jesus. We do not have a Messiah who merely went through the motions of the human experience. He really became one of us and went through what we go through and more. He knows what it feels like to be troubled in his spirit, because he knows what it feels like to be mistreated, belittled, abused, ridiculed, slandered, lied to, left out, gossiped about, double-crossed, denied, despised, rejected, and betrayed by those whom he loved. As Al Zadig put it, betrayal is one of the saddest words in the English language. It's one of the most devastating forms of pain a human can endure, because true betrayal never comes from your enemies, but from your friends. Jesus went through that for you and me. Jesus had only ever been a friend to Judas. He had reached out to him, loved him, listened to him, invested in him, and discipled him. Judas had witnessed Jesus heal the sick, walk on water, feed the multitudes, and raise the dead. Judas had watched Jesus love the lost, eat with sinners and outcasts, and share the good news even with those who were plotting to kill him. And now at the Last Supper, Jesus had more opportunities in the presence of Jesus to repent of his pretense and finally receive Jesus as his Savior and his Lord. But Judas hardened his heart. He hardened his heart when the Lord of glory took the posture of a servant and bowed down before Judas and washed his feet. He hardened his heart to the servanthood of Jesus, the humility of Jesus. He hardened his heart once again when Jesus graciously served him and gave him bread to eat. And when Jesus hardened his heart to these overtures of love, divine love, Satan entered in. As Alexander McLaurin put it, as Judas shut his heart against Christ, he opened it to the devil. And as F.F. Bruce explains, Satan could not have entered into him had he not granted him admission. Had he been willing to say no to the adversary, all of his master's intercessory power was available to him there and then to strengthen him. Talk about needing to seek the Lord while he may be found and call upon him while he is near. What an opportunity. Judas, a byword for betrayal, but also what an example of missed opportunities. The story of Judas is a standing reminder to us of the truth of James chapter 4, verses 7 and 8. Humble yourselves before God. Humble yourselves before the one who humbled himself for you. Humble yourselves before God. Resist the devil, and he will flee from you. Draw near to God, and he will draw near to you. And it is a call to always be praying the prayer of victory from Psalm 119, verse 117, hold me up, Lord, and I shall be safe. And of course, the prayer which we've corporately prayed together today, we pray it together every Sunday. Deliver me from evil. Lead me not into temptation, but deliver me from evil. Deliver me from the evil one. Oh, how we need to be praying that without ceasing. But Jesus was willing to go through the pain, the real pain of that awful betrayal to fulfill Scripture, to feel what we feel, and finally, to forgive us of our sins. In Judas, surely we see something of ourselves. We can run the risk of sometimes putting Judas in this special category of the really bad sinner, and we miss the fact that we should see something of ourselves. Every one of us should see something of ourselves in Judas. Hypocritical, deceiving, self-serving, self-promoting, jealous, envious, greedy. As David Guzik put it, Judas shows us that fallen man needs more than an example and even more than good teaching. Judas had the best example and the greatest teacher and was still lost. We need a Savior to deliver us from sin and from Satan's power. And Jesus proved his willingness to be our Savior through his willingness to be betrayed for us. No one wants to be betrayed. Nobody wakes up in the morning and says, I'd just love to be betrayed today. But Jesus went through it. He went through the betrayal in order to get to the cross. And he went through both in order to forgive us of our sins and restore us to God and to one another through his precious blood. We are reminded of this every time we celebrate the Lord's Supper. Isn't that interesting that the Apostle Paul chose to remind us of that in the words of institution in 1 Corinthians 11? He chose to remind us of the betrayal of Jesus. For Paul writes, "For I received from the Lord what I also delivered to you, that the Lord Jesus, on the night when he was betrayed, took bread. And when he had given thanks, he broke it and said, 'This is my body, which is for you. Do this in remembrance of me.' In the same way also he took the cup after supper, saying, 'This cup is the new covenant in my blood. Do this as often as you drink it in remembrance of me.'" Remembering Christ washing the disciples' feet that night. Remembering Christ being willing to be betrayed for you. Remembering Christ offering himself as an atonement for your sin. And Paul says, "For as often as you eat this bread and drink the cup, you proclaim the Lord's death until he comes." Let's look to the Lord in prayer. Our Heavenly Father, we give you thanks for your dear Son. Words cannot communicate the depths of his willingness to be our Savior, his willingness to be betrayed for us, beaten for us, his willingness to bear our sins as a curse for us on Calvary's tree. Grant us, therefore, the help of your Spirit, that through the covenant meal before us, we may more fully understand and more fully receive the grace of God to us in Christ. Grant us that through this meal we might truly fellowship with Jesus and in love and forgiveness fellowship with one another. To that end, set apart the bread and the cup, so that through them we might eat and drink the body and blood of our Lord by faith and for the nourishment of our souls. Through Christ we pray. Amen.